Thank you, Emma. Great to be back. It's always nice to get a welcome back. I've been here, I think, about three times now, which is great. So we must be doing something right. We're going to watch a video in a moment. And I just want to say thank you to you as a church, Christchurch Woodbury, for standing alongside your persecuted family around the world. I want to tell you very quickly about Ji Ho. She vividly remembers the moment when she saw her father for the last time. North Korean security agents had ransacked their home. They were in searching for an item. They didn't find the item in the house, but they did find it buried in the garden. She remembers seeing the security agents come rushing into the home, throwing a wrapped-up Bible in a plastic bag, throwing it down at her father's feet. And with that, she saw her father for the last time. Ji Ho is one of many millions of Christians around the world who are persecuted at Open Doors. We estimate that there are something like 365 million Christians around the world who count the cost, who pay the highest price for sharing our faith, but not our freedom. And we put that another way, one in seven Christians around the world sharing our faith, but not our freedom. They love Jesus with all that they have, like Ji Ho, defying their dictators, defying their family, their community members, and following Jesus no matter what. Your prayers, your financial support as a church community and also as individuals is so, so vital. 365 million Christians, that's a whopping big stat to take in on a Sunday morning in comfortable Woodbury. They're more than just numbers. They're more than just statistics. They're our family, our brothers and our sisters. So maybe for some of you, this is a little bit new, so it's a great sort of opportunity this morning to have a reminder or an introduction to what Open Doors is all about. And for nearly 70 years, we have been serving the persecuted church. And our vision, quite simply, is that no Christian who is persecuted should suffer alone. So thank you as a church for doing your bit to journey with your persecuted family. So we're just going to watch this video, a couple of minutes. It will give you a bit of an insight into the reality, the cost for believers like Ji Ho around the world today, paying the highest of price, and also kind of refresh you, or for some of you, an introduction to exactly what Open Doors is doing on the ground to make a difference. Thanks.
Could praying put you in danger? Could going to church risk your life? Could following Jesus cost you your job, your home, or your family? Around the world today, our Christian brothers and sisters are counting the cost of their faith. And these are the five countries where the price of following Jesus is highest. Number five, Yemen. The very small number of Yemeni Christians must worship in secret. House church leader Salah is on the wanted list, but despite death threats, he courageously continues his ministry. At number four is Eritrea. Christian activities are severely restricted. When Abdullah told people about Jesus, he was sent to prison. The conditions were so terrible that he never came out alive. Libya is number three on the list. Libya considers itself to be a completely Islamic nation. Libyan believers who tell others about Jesus risk arrest and violent opposition. Number two, Somalia. In this highly restrictive Islamic society, even the suspicion of being a Christian is extremely dangerous. Converts who are discovered may instantly pay with their lives. And at number one, North Korea. This remains the most costly place in the world to be a Christian. Even owning a Bible is illegal. Ji Ho's father was taken away when security agents discovered his secret book. She never saw him again. Christians are sent to appalling labor camps or simply killed on the spot. More than 365 million Christians face high levels of persecution and discrimination. That's one in seven Christians globally. And every one of them a son or daughter, a mother, a father, a child of God. For nearly 70 years, Open Doors has been supporting our persecuted church family, helping them to stand strong. They are counting the cost of following Christ. And with your help, they can keep believing, knowing that Jesus is worth everything.
So thank you. Thank you for journeying together with your persecuted church family around the world. And just want to sort of say in flag that we'd love to send you a free prayer guide. Perhaps some of you already get that. And if you do, thank you for that. Putting the persecuted church on your prayer list is so, so important. And knowing your church family here, you've got the likes of Richard and Trish who do that so regularly and faithfully. But if you'd like to add the persecuted church on your prayer list, get the urgent sort of requests and reminders, just come and see me at the end and fill out a postcard. And we would love to send you a great little resource. And maybe some of you, maybe you'd like to get a free book, like this book I read when I was 18. I read it to my daughter last year. She's now 12. And it's an absolutely incredible read, a story of risk-taking adventure with Jesus, story of how Open Doors began by a guy called Brother Andrew. Maybe some of you have read it in the past. Maybe read it again or give it to a neighbour. Again, come and see me at the end, fill out a postcard, and would love to send you that as well. Well, it's great to jump into your series of journeying together. And today we're going to think about the fact that we are journeying together with brothers and sisters all around the world. That actually, isn't it great that the church isn't just a local thing? It's not even just a national thing. It's global and supremely, it is eternal as well. Anyone here watch Race Across the World? Well, there's a few of you. I'm glad I'm not the only one. Now, I've got to say, there's not a good deal on TV that's good for watching as a family, but Race Across the World is actually quite good. And next week, I hope you got your reminders on, next week it starts again. Series 4 is coming back on BBC One, 9 p.m. next Wednesday. Of course, you can catch up on iPlayer. Now, it's this amazing challenge, isn't it? Basically, you've got five teams set out on this race across a massive landmass, and apparently it's going to be from like the northern part of Japan all across Southeast Asia, ending up in some idyllic island in Indonesia. And of course, they have no smartphones, they have no internet access, they have no bank cards. What they're given a bunch of cash, aren't they? And a bit of ingenuity, a few hopefully contacts on the way that they make, and they literally have to travel across the terrain and complete this journey. Of course, what's interesting for us all viewing it, you sort of hear the stories of the pairings. You know, there's sort of siblings involved, there's sort of lifelong friends, or you know, there's parents with their children, and everyone kind of has a story, and you sort of see it sort of played out right in front of you. And of course, as we watch this story unfold, this race across the world, there's going to be bumps in the road, there's going to be highs and there's going to be lows and everything in between. But what you can guarantee is it's going to be a journey of a lifetime for the participants. They'll make some unforgettable memories doing this journey together. Race Across the World. Hope you're ready for it next Wednesday. I've done my advert for the BBC this morning. But you know, it got me thinking, there's another race across the world taking place. And it's a race that you here in Christchurch Woodbury are very much a part of. Now, you might not particularly feel like it, but you are. And it's the story of the expansion and the stretching of God's kingdom across the world, across the nations and across the time zones. And you know what? This race is taking place in some of the darkest, most dangerous and difficult places on planet Earth today. We've got a map that hopefully Kevin will show on screen, which shows the Open Doors World Watch List map. And you'll see countries in red and orange. And these countries show where the fire of persecution is raging. But also what they show us, that in these countries where persecution is so extreme, where the cost of following Jesus is so high that you can lose your freedom, you can lose your life, you can lose your education, you can lose your family, your friends, that actually there's a price worth paying, and it's because of Jesus. And what that map shows us, that in the countries where it's so extreme and dangerous to be a Christian, actually the light of Jesus still shines. There is nothing that can extinguish it. It's actually a failing race to destroy God's church. There's a race across the world taking place today, and it's a race that you and I, if we know and love the Lord Jesus, we're participants in. We journey together in this race. Revelation 7:9 gives us this picture of the end of time in the new creation. And it says this, John writes, "After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, tribe, and tongue." The race across the world is happening for real. It's the stretching, the advancing of God's kingdom in the toughest of places. Happening in hidden secret churches, in prison camps in North Korea, like where Ji-ho's father might have ended up. It's happening in forests and jungles, caves, right this very moment, even today, across today, there'll be Christians that will be meeting in secret. The race across the world is happening for real. It's happening for real. I want to tell you a story. At Open Doors, we have loads of stories, loads of sobering stories, and we will share some of those this morning because that is part of the reality of looking at a world where there is extreme persecution, there's extreme suffering, but there's also extreme faith, and it's something that you and I, if we are Christians here this morning, we know and love the Lord Jesus, we share in that. We share in that suffering, but we also share in this amazing story of God's glory being revealed. As a husband and wife who were smuggling Bibles in a country in the Arabian Peninsula, a very extreme place to be doing this. And if you were discovered doing this, maybe at best case, you'd get lifelong imprisonment, worst case, death. So they were taking a big risk by smuggling Bibles in their country. And as they were driving from different cities in their country, they drive past a petrol station, forecourt, and they actually needed fuel at the time. But they see this man standing in the petrol station forecourt, and he has all the look of an Islamic extremist. He's kind of wearing the right headwear, that kind of thing, the scarf, the look, and he has an AK-47 casually slung over his shoulder. He's the kind of guy that if you're smuggling Bibles, you want to drive past, you want to get away really, really quickly. You want to avoid this man. So the husband decides, no, he's just going to carry on. He needs fuel, but he's going to try and wait to get to the next petrol station. But after a few minutes, the wife turns to the husband and she says, we need to go back. We need to go back. We need to go and give that man we just saw in the petrol station forecourt one of our Bibles. The husband, his heart sinks. He responds to his wife. He says, are you mad? Are you crazy? He's going to kill us. Well, he's going to kill me because I'm the one that's probably going to have to take the Bible to him. They drive on. They continue driving for a few minutes. But the wife, being a good wife, responds again. She says, look, no, we've got to go back. We've got to go back. And so they turn the car around. They pull into the petrol station and the man is still standing there in the petrol station forecourt. The husband goes to the boot of the car, takes out a Bible, his knees are quaking, and he goes up to the man and he hands him this Bible and he says, in here are the words of life. In here are the words of life. Immediately, the man with the gun breaks down. He starts to weep uncontrollably. Once he composes himself, he says this, 3 days ago I had a dream. A man in white appeared to me and told me to go and wait by the nearest petrol station and said, someone will bring you the words of life. Someone will bring you the word of life. And I've been waiting here ever since. What an amazing story, isn't it? There is a race across the world and God is doing some incredible things. A miraculous story there of God on the move in one of the toughest, most extreme places on earth. We get a glimpse, a glimmer of God's glory, his kingdom breaking in, heaven coming to earth. And I want to say to you this morning in Woodbury that actually these remarkable stories happen, I believe, when we journey together, when we pray for Christians living in the toughest, most extreme, dangerous places around the world, when we actually contend with them, when we stand with them, when we join the fight, when we pray, when we intercede. Now, I don't know about you, but most of my prayers are quite feeble. Most of my prayers are kind of done when I'm feeling quite tired or distracted. I'm sure I'm not alone. My prayers aren't very often very super, super long or eloquent. But actually, what's really important is that they're sincere, that they're from your heart. And I want to encourage you that actually when we step into praying for our family around the world and for the nations that they're a part of, something amazing happens, that we stand in the gap, we stand alongside. And our prayers are powerful. Our prayers are powerful. They're powerful because we have access to God as Christians. We have the ear, I want to say this, we have the ear of the one who rules and reigns over this cosmos. And that is our God, the Lord Jesus. He is the Most High God, and we have his ear. And in prayer, we partner with God, and we see some of these amazing things happening. Brother Andrew, the founder of Open Doors, once said this line, and I think it really sums up kind of what we're trying to sort of think about this morning. Our prayers can go where we cannot. Our prayers can go where we cannot. There are no borders, no prison walls, no doors that are closed to us when we pray. Isn't that a great thing? There are no borders, no prison walls, no doors that are closed to us when we pray. So we're going to go on a journey of praying together with the persecuted church, or that challenge. And I just want to do a quick plug for Richard and Tricia, who aren't here today, but they are holding a prayer meeting for the persecuted church on the 21st of April. They would love you and more of you to join them. So please see them and chat to them about that. They would love you to be part of that. We read a bit of the Lord's Prayer today, didn't we? And the Lord's Prayer is a prayer that Christians have prayed the last couple of thousand years, whether they've been living in freedom or whether they've been living in persecution. It's a prayer that our family will be praying around the world today in all sorts of situations and scenarios. And I'm going to focus on verse 10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Got a couple of points I want to sort of share with us as we think about this idea of journeying together with our family around the world in prayer. And the first thought is this, is our prayer fuels the work of God. Our prayer fuels the work of God. We've heard that in that story, that amazing, miraculous story of the man who looked like a terrorist or an extremist in a petrol station forecourt in a country in the Arabian Peninsula. But when we pray, "Your kingdom come as on earth as it is in heaven," we pray for the rule of Jesus to advance, to extend, fulfilling this race across the earth. We pray not my will, not our will, but we pray his will, his rule, and his reign be done. Now, that's something I don't fully get my head around, and I'm sure you don't either, but one day we will. But actually, when we come to prayer, there's a posture of surrender that's needed anyway, isn't it? It's like, you know, we're not God. God is God. Let him be God. And we just need to come in that posture of surrender and just say, "It's not my will. It's yours, not my rule and reign, yours, God, and yours alone." And it's pretty bonkers, actually, that you and I, ordinary you and I, we get invited to participate and partner with God in this way. We get to partner in seeing the heavenization of this world, of heaven invading earth. Maybe let's make it more personal, more local for a moment. When you pray, "Your kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven," you pray for the rule of Jesus to extend in your life. You pray for the rule of Jesus to extend and advance and stretch in your family. Think about that for a moment. Every prayer that you pray for your family, you're praying for heaven to invade earth. Every prayer that you pray for your community, for Woodbury, you're praying for heaven to invade earth, more of Jesus' kingdom to extend, stretch, and advance. When we pray for our nation, we pray for the rule of Jesus to come. And when we pray for our world, we pray for more of heaven, quite simply, to come on earth. We pray for the heavenization, more of heaven to invade this earth. We pray for the glimpses, the glimmers of God's glory, don't we? In the here and now, in a world marked with suffering, conflict, and chaos, we want to see more of the glory of God, the glimmers, the moments of breakthrough in the midst of suffering and injustice, more of heaven coming to earth. We hear some really challenging stories at Open Doors, but we also get to hear some really incredible stories of heaven invading earth. And they really do encourage us, encourage me. And just want to encourage you this morning that actually, once again, that our prayers really do go where we cannot. And that in the body of Christ, we're all needed. In the body of Christ, we're all needed. We're all needed to journey together. There was a pastor whose story I came across recently. He's a pastor from Central Asia. He's called Pastor Azamat. And he says this, "Please tell people who pray that we can really feel their prayers. Sometimes when I'm in difficulty, I think this is the end. But suddenly I feel like someone is taking care of me, and I know that someone somewhere is praying for me in that moment." We believe that no persecuted Christian should suffer alone, and we should pray. So thank you for praying, and I just want to encourage you to keep praying for comfort, for strength, for peace, for brothers and sisters around the world. And this month, or the past few weeks, has been the month of Ramadan. Maybe some of you have clocked that. And particularly, we've been trying to pray for Christians living in the Muslim world, and for Muslims to encounter more of Jesus, more of heaven to come to earth. And our prayers really do fuel the work and mission of God. One of my colleagues went to a country in North Africa not so long back, and this is a country where Christians have increasingly been feeling the squeeze on their life. At Open Doors, very often we talk about the smash of persecution and also the squeeze of persecution. So the smash is the very sort of tangible, visible examples of violent persecution that we might see. Kind of what happened to Ji Ho's family there in North Korea. The squeeze is more the kind of discrimination, the marginalization, the death by a thousand cuts, the daily pressure on life. And this is what we're seeing in this country, in North Africa. Being a Christian means it's hard to get a job. Being a Christian means it's really difficult for your kids in school. Being a Christian in this country means it's hard to get a house. It's hard to see a doctor and get medical care. It's the squeeze on daily life, and a lot of churches have had to close in this country. So in this country, the church can't do things like Christianity Explored or Alpha, or probably run holiday clubs that you guys have run this week. But they're seeing dozens and dozens of people coming to faith and dozens of baptisms every month. So one of my colleagues asked one of the pastors, he said, "What's your secret?" And the pastor said, "We pray. We pray. We have a prayer room, and we pray constantly that God will send people to us." People like the following lady. A Muslim lady from this pastor's town one night had a dream. She had a dream where Jesus showed up to her and said, "I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend." The following day, she went to this pastor because she knew there was a church that she could probably go to, and she bravely knocked on the door. And the pastor welcomed her in, and she shared this story about Jesus appearing in the dream. And the pastor explains the gospel to her. And by the end of this conversation, this woman has decided to accept Jesus in her life. And she finally says, "I need to go and tell my friends. I need to go and tell all my friends." The pastor warned her that that could be very dangerous, could be quite a risky thing to do, and she might lose her life if she did so. But she says, "No, I'm going to do it. I want to go and tell my friends what has happened to me." So the pastor didn't hear from this woman for a couple of weeks. He was quite worried. He was sort of really sort of troubled as to what had happened to this woman. A couple of weeks later, there's a knock on the door. And this woman is beaming, and she comes in and speaks to the pastor, and she tells him that she'd spoken to every single woman in her local mosque, and every single woman had had the same dream of Jesus. Jesus saying, "I want to be your friend." Isn't that amazing? Our prayers really do fuel the work and mission of God. Just thinking about Spree coming up. Pray for Spree. Pray for young lives to be transformed and changed. Our prayers really do see change and transformation. They fuel the work and mission of God. My colleague went into this prayer room in this church in North Africa, and he saw about 100 people gathered there praying. And they were really interested in knowing where Andy had come from. And Andy said he'd come from the UK. Do you know what they proceeded to do for the next couple of hours? They proceeded to pray for the United Kingdom and Christians here, that we would experience more of the move of God and see change and transformation. They were crying out to God for us. We do journey together in the body of Christ. Our persecuted family often pray for us, and we need to be praying for them. So I really do invite you to get hold of these resources from Open Doors to fuel your prayers and get the updates so we can keep praying for the borders of the kingdom of God to stretch and expand and grow. And we see the glimmers, the glory of God breaking in. I love hearing these stories. I could tell you more. But in the midst of seeing heaven come to earth, there's some harder stuff. And it's sometimes harder to see heaven coming to earth when we encounter the persecuted church. Just a few weeks back, I was pretty shocked. I'm going to Nigeria in July. And Nigeria is like the epicenter of violent persecution in our world today. It's the place where actually more Christians are killed for their faith in Nigeria than anywhere else. such is the level of violence that is happening to Christians there. And just a couple of weeks ago, I came across these stories that were shared by our teams. 200 women and children living in a Christian refugee camp, they were out picking firewood from a forest where they were abducted. Mass abduction took place by extremists there, Boko Haram, the group that sort of ravages and does so much of the atrocities there in northern Nigeria. Then a few days later, something like 280 children from their primary school and secondary school were kidnapped by a terror group. Can you believe it? Just days later. Imagine if that was your relative, your child, your family member. There are no words. And just this week, I don't know if anyone here is 15 years old, but just this week, we heard about a lad called Doodle from Bangladesh. And he was attacked, stripped, and publicly beaten simply because he's a Christian. Just happened a couple of weeks ago. His parents came to faith 4 years ago, and ever since then, the Muslim neighbours have become increasingly incensed by their Christian faith and witness, and they've been really furious about this, making life really difficult. Just before Easter, Doodle was accused of stealing a goat. He was falsely accused of this. Basically, it was a fabrication. And then a young mob were incited, and they attacked him, parading him through his village, his community. And some of these instances that happen, you think, God, where are you? God, what are you doing? And sometimes it's really hard to see heaven come to earth in those moments. And maybe there's moments in your own life, just hardships, trials, challenges. We need to keep praying, don't we? We need to keep crying out to God in those moments, praying for mercy, praying for comfort, praying for strength, praying for rescue, praying for justice, praying His will be done, not mine, not ours. Our prayers at times might not see direct intervention and rescue in the here and now, but I want to encourage you that in those moments when you pray for strength and comfort for brothers and sisters around the world in places like Nigeria, North Korea, Bangladesh, they are strengthened, they are encouraged, they are not alone. And that in itself means that there is heaven coming to earth, that God is with them in the heat of the fire. I went to Nigeria in 2019 and met an amazing lady called Tiram. She's part of the Open Doors Trauma Counselling team there. And a big part of our work in northern Nigeria is to provide emotional and healing support, trauma care for so many victims and survivors of violent extreme persecution. And I attended a trauma program for about 12 women who'd all been raped, widowed, kidnapped at the hands of Boko Haram and other extremists. And Tiram was there, and she was this amazing practitioner, trauma care practitioner. And she said this, she said, Emma, we in Nigeria in the persecuted church, we're like the injured foot. The wound is open and it's bleeding. But you here at Christ Church Woodbury, when you come alongside in prayer and support, it's like you take care of the wound. We know that we're not alone. You help to soothe the wound. That's what your prayers do. They help to soothe the wound. Suleiman is a man who leads Open Doors work in Nigeria and West Africa. And he says this, we only survive because of your prayers. We only survive because of your prayers. They give us the grace to stand strong, to keep going. That in itself is heaven coming to earth. The ability to endure, the ability to keep enduring and to keep going. So I invite you to do that, to journey together with brothers and sisters, living a story of endurance, living a story of lifelong suffering this side of eternity. It really matters that we journey together, that we contend with them, we stand alongside. So our prayers, they fuel the work and the mission of God, perhaps in dramatic ways, but also in that everyday story of endurance, survival, to keep going and to keep shining for Jesus, no matter what. The second thought I want to share with you from praying that part of the Lord's Prayer is this, is that as we journey together, both locally and globally, every prayer, every amen pulls the kingdom of God a little bit closer. With every prayer, with every amen, we pull the kingdom a little bit closer. Within the pages of the Bible, we get a sense that our prayers, the prayers of God's people, are gathered up in heaven. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before, that they're collected, they're stored up, they are never wasted, they're never wasted. I just want to read to you a few verses from Revelation, chapter 8, verses 3 and 5. And this encourages me and it should encourage you as you journey together, praying for stuff locally and praying for stuff globally. So verse 3 in chapter 8 says this: another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up from God, from the angel's hand. And it continues. This encourages me. Your prayers, my prayers, they don't just bounce off the ceiling. They actually hit the most powerful place in the universe. The throne of heaven, right where God is. The ruler, the creator of the cosmos, hears our prayers. And our prayers are gathered in this throne room before God. They're actually part of the worship of heaven right now in this very moment and will continue to be until God says, that's it. That he's coming again. And our prayers are like incense. And these bowls, once full, will be poured out at the end of the age in a great universal amen. Every prayer is heard and held. And one day, all those prayers that you think have gone unanswered or the pause button has been hit will one day be answered. There'll be a great final answering. Every true prayer ever uttered is not wasted, but cherished. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Every prayer is cherished and remembered by God, stored up in these golden bowls, awaiting their fulfillment. And that should give us hope. Hope for prayers not yet answered. That should give us hope for situations in our own lives. For situations that we've heard about this morning in northern Nigeria. For Doodle in Bangladesh. For Jiho in North Korea. One day, all prayer will be answered. When Jesus comes again, when he will fully rule and reign over this world, when all suffering and injustice, sickness and hardship will end. The author Tim Chester puts it like this, and I can't put it in any better way, so I'm going to just read what he says. Prayers we think of as directed to the present are in fact being stored up to be answered on the final day. When we pray for those suffering injustice and persecution, we're expressing our longing for the day when there'll be no more tears, no more mourning, no more pain or death. That is Revelation 21. When we pray for the end, for God to end wars and oppression, we're expressing our longing for the day when the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our God and his Christ. Revelation 11. Every time we say amen, every time we pray, we are pulling the kingdom of God a little bit closer. And the day is coming. The day is coming, isn't it? When Jesus will return, when God's kingdom will fully come, when Jesus will fully rule and reign, when heaven finally really does come to earth, when one day the race across the world will be fully complete. Until then, we journey together, we keep going, and we pray, we contend, we fight, we stand alongside. And we long, don't we, to continue to see the kingdom of God stretch and advance here in Woodbury, in Devon, and beyond, to the ends of the earth, to the most difficult, dangerous, darkest places on this planet. We pray for God's rule to come. We pray for more of heaven to come to earth. Should we just pray together?